Hello and welcome to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tabbitt Brothers. We're broadcasting this week from the Rose Garden here at Car Talk Plaza.
Isn't it lovely here?
It is indeed.
It is lovely. It is. Peaceful. It's even peaceful. And the fact is that when peace breaks out all over the place, we thought it was only appropriate that we, too, should take certain steps forward
that's
in
right.
the peace department, right?
We figured since peace is in the air, I mean, if the Israelis and the Palestinians can live together, the least we can do here at Car Talk Plaza is make peace, too, with General Motors.
Oh, yes! We are prepared on this very day, provided that nothing derails this process during the Today Show, we are prepared to recognize General Motors' right to exist.
Wow, how's that for magnanimous?
I think so.
I mean, as Mr. Rabin said, there is a time to love and a time to hate.
Yes.
A time to reap, a time to sow.
Yes.
A time to make war, a time to make peace.
Yeah.
A time to say, they all do that. Time to finally fix defective power steering racks.
This is the time to fix all mistakes.
Right.
All right, do I get to read anything now or not?
Sure.
I mean, I have a couple of choices here. Would you like me to read?
I'd like something poetic.
Poetic? You thought I wasn't going to have something. Well,
I knew you would.
I didn't. Jane Daniels from Mullica Hill, New Jersey, wherever the heck that is. Here it is, a little poem. It's a poem.
Poem.
The Dart is my auto. I shall not want another. It maketh me to lie down underneath it. It soareth my soul and leadeth me into the paths of ridicule for its name's sake. Yea, though I ride through the valleys, I am towed up the hills. I fear much evil. My rods and my engine discomfort me. I anoint my tires with patches. My radiator runneth over. I repair my blowouts in the presence of mine enemies. Surely if this thing follows me all the days of my life, I shall dwell in the nut house forever. Who wrote this anyway? This is something about Seth Thomas of Oak Bluffs, Massachusetts. He wrote that.
You know where Oak Bluffs is?
It's probably on Martha's Vineyard.
Very good. You ready for a call?
Absolutely.
I've got to congratulate you. I asked for something poetic.
And out of the six pieces of mail that I had here, one of them was a poem. I'm glad you didn't ask me to talk about hunting, because I was going to go into it.
No.
I will take care of this next week.
And I'll be preparing a rebuttal. 1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Name is Dave, and I'm calling from Mishawaka, Indiana.
Hi, Dave.
Of course, Mishawaka. You may think you're the only person who's called us from Mishawaka, but you aren't. We've had several calls from Mishawaka.
I remember none of them.
People.
You're the first one, Dave. What's on your mind?
Well, not really a problem, but just a question. I have a 92 Honda Accord, and on the tire, I have Michelin MXV4 tires. And the tire says that you can fill it to 44 pounds.
Yes.
But the owner's manual says you're only supposed to fill it to about 34 or, you know, something like 32.
Right.
And, you know, it looks a little flat when I only fill it that much. So should I go by what the owner's manual says or should I go by what the tire says?
Well, you should pump those babies up until they're perfectly round. You don't want any bulging.
We're going to pump you up. Well, the 44 PSI is sort of like the speed limit on the freeway. You can go that high, but it doesn't mean you have to. And in fact, you should not pay any attention to the 44 number.
Well, no, I mean, no, that's a bad analogy, because if you were to go the speed limit, you'd get there sooner. I mean, there's a benefit to going the speed limit. There's no direct benefit to overinflating the tires.
No.
Except that you'll get slightly better mileage. However, you will wear out the tires a lot faster. You will get a poorer ride.
And possibly worse handling.
You will get poorer handling, and it may even be disadvantageous in wet weather.
Okay, so I'm not hurting the tire by not filling it up that much.
No, you're quite the contrary. You should always follow the instructions of the manufacturer of the car.
Okay.
Not the manufacturer of the tire.
Well, that isn't always the case, because
yes,
sometimes
always the case.
You can buy tires which will require different inflation. For example, these tires came with the car.
Uh-huh.
So you would assume that they would recommend the right inflation. But it's possible for you to buy a different kind of a tire, not a different make, but a tire with a different aspect ratio or something, or a high-performance tire that would require higher inflation, in which case you
That's
might want
true.
To follow the recommendation on the tire.
Okay.
Okay, but under no circumstances should you ever inflate a tire to its maximum inflation.
Right. Usually what's written on the tire is the maximum pressure that you can put in there, and it's very rarely that you would want to put the maximum pressure in there.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
So it's easy.
30 or 34, whatever the book says, is the right number.
Most
even though it looks funny, it looks like the tire is not fully inflated, but all radial tires are like that.
Yeah,
you're too easy, Dave. Most of our callers argue with us or call us stupid. Or, anyway.
I'll come up with a real stumper next time.
All right.
We've had a couple of them already today. Thanks anyway.
All right, thank you.
See you,
see you, David.
See ya.
All right. 1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Yeah, hi. This is Gretel from Stevens City, Virginia.
Gretel? Hansel's sister?
Well, I don't know about sister.
See, I don't think I've ever met anyone named Gretel.
Or Hansel, for that matter.
Or Hansel.
Hansel's even rare.
Yeah, it is rare.
It is indeed.
Well, I was named after a dachshund, so.
You were?
Yeah.
Great.
Where are you from? Stevens where?
Stevens City.
Where's that?
Virginia. It's, it's about 2 hours west of D.C., Washington, D.C.
Ah, got it. Okay. What's up?
I have a 68 Dartra. And
be still my heart.
Yeah, it's a fantastic car.
It is, isn't it?
But it's killing me with the fumes in the cab.
Oh.
And I can't find the problem. And so I can't take trips. I have to have the windows down all the time. I extended the tailpipe. They've checked everything out, and it's just awful.
This is nature's method of natural selection.
trying to get rid of all the wackos that drive around in 68 Dodge Darts.
Yeah, we've taken... The only thing that saved my brother is the fact that his convertible top leaks, but we've pumped exhaust right into the cabin on his, trying to take care of him.
Yeah, but it doesn't work because it's got so many leaks that it just goes out.
When you say you have fumes, are these exhaust fumes?
Yeah, really strong.
For sure they're exhaust fumes.
When you decelerate, I'm pretty sure.
When you decelerate?
Yeah.
I'd be surprised if they're exhaust fumes. You should verify that by... Sometime when you smell this smell and you've got it, you know, fresh in your mind, so to speak, you should pull over and go and sniff the tailpipe. Just watch out for dogs when you're doing this. But get down on all fours
and people with cameras.
and give a good sniff and see if they're the same smell. I bet you they're not going to be the same smell.
I think
it is.
You think? All right. Let's
assume it is.
Let's work on the assumption.
Gretel thinks it is.
The mechanic drove it around and he smelled it too.
So what has he done to do anything about
this? Well, they extended the tailpipe. They plugged up any holes and stuff. I mean, they couldn't find anything.
Well, how sure are they that the exhaust system is intact? How old is the exhaust system?
It's not too old, about 3 years.
Well, they could verify that it wasn't leaking. You simply plugged the tailpipe.
Did he do that?
Well, I think so. I've taken it to 3 different people, and they've checked it out.
It wouldn't take any Einstein to figure that out.
Yeah, are there any Einsteins checking mufflers?
No. Well, there may be. There may be one Einstein lurking in some muffler shop someplace. In any event, if they've ascertained that it, in fact, isn't leaking, then there are other ways the exhaust can get in. I mean, if it were leaking... It would require that you had holes in the floor. Oh, it's a 68. You probably do have holes.
Of course she's got holes in the floor.
No, she probably doesn't.
That's the problem.
Well, I haven't seen any.
But you have a hole that you don't realize you have. But we're operating on the assumption that it's exhaust coming out of the tailpipe that's finding its way into the car, because that's the only way it can come out. We've already assumed that it isn't leaking.
I'm not sure I'm willing to accept that premise.
No, I wasn't willing to accept that it was even exhaust, but we're willing to operate on all these
fine
premises.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then... Therefore,
given that, yes.
I believe the exhaust is coming in through the trunk.
Yeah. That's what someone else said.
Well, yeah. easy to fix. Easy to test. Tape up the trunk with duct tape.
Okay.
Not duct. Right. Duct tape. D-U-C-K.
Right.
Right.
That's an interesting... Now, 500 years from now, someone will wonder how that stuff became known as duct tape.
Yeah, and someone will make up some harebrained story about ducks, and they used to hang the ducks up in the duck shop.
This is how they remove the feathers.
Legs.
They used to wrap this around your hand, and you would flail at the duck, and the feathers would stick to the stuff, which is very sticky, and hence the name duct tape.
Right. No, but
tape up that seam completely,
right,
and then drive the car.
Okay.
If the smell is not gone,
then it's something else.
Then it's something else you're smelling. How long has the smell been there?
10 years.
Ever since we had the car.
How long is that?
68.
About 4 or 5 years.
4 or 5 years. Do you notice yourself repeating things or being forgetful? or calling talk shows, for example, doing other things that you can't explain.
Going to mechanics one after another with some harebrained idea. Yeah.
See,
if that's happening, then you are definitely suffering from carbon monoxide poisoning.
plug up that trunk and see what happens, Gretel, and I bet that won't fix it because it's something else.
Okay.
And that something else is blow-by.
Blow-by.
Yeah, you tell your mechanic if this doesn't fix it, you think you have blow-by.
What's that?
It's a sign of a worn-out engine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so be
Are you burning oil?
Of course.
Very little, about a quart a month.
A quart a month.
Yeah, the car runs beautifully. I mean, I've taken over the desert, over the Rockies. I drive it very fast. It's an incredible car.
Isn't it, though?
It's just extraordinary, except for these fumes, you know, which you have to have the windows open all the time.
Yeah, well, it's obvious that you're getting the carbon monoxide poison because your perception is all out of whack. See you, Gretel.
Good luck.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
We'll be right back with the answer to the puzzler right after these messages. This message comes from NPR sponsor eBay Motors. It doesn't matter if your car is brand new or a vintage rumbler. There's always room to make improvements to take it to the next level and make it feel a little more like you. But how do you know where to go to find the right parts to do that? Well, eBay Motors has all the right parts at the right prices. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means they have 122 million parts all at your disposal. So whatever you want to do to your car, you'll be able to find exactly what you need at ebaymotors.com. Let's ride.
Hey, exhaust breath.
Yeah?
Do you remember last week's puzzler?
Yeah. Krusty is sticking aspirins in his ears, and he's trying to figure out...
No. You gave it perfect 10 scores for the following categories.
Yeah.
Challenging.
Challenging. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Folklore.
Ooh, folkloric. Folkloric.
And historic. And to make it even more embarrassing, it was about your car.
Oh, it was about my car. I was driving down the street. I heard a big noise. Car stopped. That was it?
Yes. I will recap.
I remember it well.
Very quickly.
I remember it well.
Everyone knows that. That my brother used to drive a 65 Rambler Ambassador convertible, which he used to refer to, but no longer can, as a sleek black beauty. That is until he lost that bet with me a few weeks ago and is now forever banned from mentioning that piece of junk again. Anyway, he now drives an even bigger heap, a 63 Dodge Dart. One day, my brother is driving along in his Dart. Oh, you know, all's right with the world.
Top is down.
The sun is shining. You can hardly even smell the
Static's
compost
coming
pile.
Out of the radio.
Yeah, your radio. We're going to talk about that someday. Anyway, he has a full tank of gas, which for him is like a quarter of a tank. But there's gas in the tank, and everything's great, and the car's running as well as it ever ran from five cylinders. All of a sudden, he hears a big boom from the rear of the car, as if something has struck the bottom of the car, like you drove over a rock or something like that, or you drove over your mother-in-law again, anything like that. And minutes later, the car stops running.
Oh, I remember. Yeah. There it was. I was on Mystic Valley Parkway.
So Tommy gets out, and he kind of roots around a little bit, and he doesn't see anything strange, but he can't get the car to start. It cranks and cranks, but it won't start, so he calls me on his cellular phone.
You're right.
And I come out, and we push the car back to his house. We get it to his driveway, and he says, "Let me try to start it now." And it starts right up on the first crank. I look under the car, and I say, "Aha! Very, very interesting." I realized that nothing had hit the bottom of the car, nothing had been run over, but I know exactly what had happened. What was it?
Whoa.
You gave this all tens.
I did. I gave it all tens.
Why?
Oh, I don't know. It's nostalgic, I guess.
I know. It was your car. Here, the big bang. Let me go back a little. Tommy had gotten gas earlier in the week.
That very day, actually.
That very day, and yeah, maybe that very day.
That very day. Yeah.
And the fellow at the gas station misplaced his gas cap or some such thing, or at any rate, he confused it with somebody else's and put a different gas cap on Tommy's tank. Mm. Now, cars of this vintage had vented gas caps, but modern cars made after like 1968, have non-vented systems. And he put a non-vented cap so that...
Which means that vapors cannot get out.
Similarly, air cannot get in to replace the gasoline that has been sucked out. So Tommy's driving along, humming a tune to, you know, one of those Dunkershane or something. One of those.
All my exes live in Texas.
And what happens is the gas tank collapses. That's the bang he hears.
Boom!
Because it gets sucked in from the suction of the fuel pump, trying to pull gas out of the tank. And, of course, the car stops because at some point, the suction created by this vacuum in the tank is enough to offset...
Sucking the gas right out of the engine,
it's
practically.
Sucking it right back from the fuel pump, and the fuel pump can no longer deliver gas to the carburetor.
Yeah.
When he turned the key at home, it had enough time for the thing
right.
to get back.
Pushing it had nothing to do with it. If we had just waited there...
Right, if time. We just waited, like I suggested. Let's wait, Tommy. Let's sit by the side of the road and read some poetry or something. But no, push me home.
No.
And that's what happened. Do we have a winner?
Yes. No kidding. You know who won?
No.
The winner is a guy named Dick Winner.
No kidding.
No kidding. From Bend, Oregon. Dick, you won. He's a real winner.
Real winner.
From Bend, Oregon. And for being selected as not only his mother's winner, but our winner as well, Dick will get either the fabulous Hawaiian vacation, the cubic zirconium napkin ring, or the Car Talk baseball hat. You have definitely won one of these three prizes.
Our choice, of course. Anyway, we have a new puzzle coming up. You know, I should mention that we received a lot of puzzles in the mail, and
yeah.
some of them...
You've been reading.
Yeah.
Phew.
Most of them are repeats. Most of them are puzzles we've used.
Sorry, as I told you, no one listens to
the
show
twice. Well, that's why I realized
twice.
I can use any of
them. You can use anything.
And,
just leave a couple of weeks. That's it.
But someone asked... if we could do a puzzle, this fellow wrote and said, gee, you know, I've been listening to the show for years and years, and I've never once been able to answer any of the puzzles. Would you do one for dummies?
Puzzlers for dummies.
Oh, no, you know, he didn't want anything automotive or anything too mathematical. So I have a puzzle that's for everybody.
Every man's puzzler.
Not for dummies, but for anyone can do this. Anyone can solve this puzzle.
Did Doug get it right?
No.
It's too hard.
Anyway, if you'd like to call us, the number is 1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
My name is Sasha. I'm calling you from Quincy, Massachusetts.
Sash, Quincy, I know where that is.
You?
It's right up the road a piece.
Oh, you guys are in Cambridge, right?
Now, Sash is S-A-S-C-H?
No, S-A-S-H-A.
Oh, Sasha. Oh, you did say that.
Oh, I thought you said Sash.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
All right, we got all that straightened out. What's up?
Okay, well... my girlfriend has a Dodge Aries 1983.
Notice it's always somebody else's car. Whenever it's a Dodge Aries, it's always my girlfriend, my brother-in-law. It's always somebody else that has a Dodge Aries. Nobody wants to admit.
Okay.
All right, it's your girlfriend. We'll accept that.
And we both use a car a lot, and it's got 135,000 miles on it right now.
You know, just last week... I was saying that of all the engines that Chrysler has ever made, those 2.2-liter engines they put in those Aries...
They were bulletproof.
Those
man.
Are the best engines they...
Yeah. They were great engines. I've always said that myself.
So anyway, what's your question?
Okay, well, I was... actually, my girlfriend and I were driving up to Maine, and the car has a small radiator problem because it just leaks a little, and every couple of weeks we had to fill it up again. So we went up to Maine that one time, and the car's radiator was leaking really bad by the time I got up there. And my girlfriend's sister's boyfriend said that his father had a garage, and one time this guy came in with a leaky radiator, and he was just about to go on a West Coast trip. And he said, well, look, what can you do about it? And the guy said, well, besides putting in a new radiator, I can suggest this.
Black pepper.
Yeah, black pepper and eggs.
Eggs!
He said,
eggs.
These are the whole eggs or just the whites?
No, the whole egg. They poach right there in the radiator.
Yeah, and he said it worked all the way to the West Coast and back without springing a leak. So I guess upon hearing this, my girlfriend and I mean we don't really know that much about cars. And we said, well, why not?
But you hightailed it right over to the supermarket.
Well. My girlfriend's sister had some eggs in the house, so
yeah.
She just passed them through the window, and the guy just cracked them open and put them right in the radiator. and then he put some pepper inside.
No salt. No salt.
No salt.
That, we were
bad for your blood
bacon,
pressure.
But he didn't oblige.
Did it work?
How many eggs?
It worked. Two eggs.
Two eggs. So I guess if you had an 8-cylinder, you'd use 4 eggs.
Yeah.
Right?
Or half a dozen.
Whatever. Half an egg per cylinder.
Yeah,
let me write this down. Half an egg per cylinder. Okay.
Now, did he? Let me get this right. Did he scramble the eggs first, or they just cracked and put in? like you would make poached eggs.
No, he didn't even scramble them.
Did he crack them, or did he put the shell and all in? I suppose the whole egg, that would stop it from leaking. So Sasha, don't keep us in suspense. Did it work or didn't it?
Well, he put him in, and it worked for a while. I mean, we drove all the way from Portland, Maine to back-to-back Bay, Boston.
Yeah?
And it worked fine. And then after that, it worked fine for at least a month before I had to put in some more eggs.
Did you get, like, feathers coming out of the tailpipe or anything?
No, it was fine. It wasn't leaking at all because I was using it every day and I was checking the levels. So it was working fine, but I didn't put any more pepper because it sort of smelled bad when I put it in.
Yeah.
I mean, the egg smelled real good. It made me hungry.
And they say eggs are bad for your clogged arteries.
You may have a new eggs presto and you have a new dish.
Better than eggs Benedict.
Better than eggs presto.
Eggs presto.
So now, all told now, how many eggs have you put in this thing?
Well, at the last point that it worked, we had about maybe 8 eggs in there.
Yeah. And then what happened?
What happened?
Disaster?
Well, one day during the summer, I was driving along, and it was a really hot day, and I guess I didn't know it, but the temperature gauge wasn't working in the car.
Just as well, maybe.
The car was overheating, and the water was leaking out, and I didn't know it. And the car just started smoking, and I pulled over into a parking lot, and it just died there.
Yeah. Oh.
And
that's the end of that car.
Yeah, well, the thing is, my friend, he told me he can get me a good used radiator, real cheap. So I'm wondering if it's worth it to put it in.
Well, does the engine still run, or is it the engine dead?
It wouldn't start.
It wouldn't start. I would guess that the engine is cooked.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I would say.
Along with the eggs.
Yeah, I would say the engine's cooked. I mean, the home, I've never heard of this particular home remedy, although I have heard of black pepper working, but personally, I've never tried it. But I have heard that it works. The eggs.
Wait, were these free range eggs?
The eggs are certainly a new twist.
They are. Boy, that's
it's
a new one on me.
A new twist. But it runs in the money. What does a dozen eggs go for now? It's going to be at least a buck and a quarter, right, for a dozen eggs?
Yeah,
but look, the two-thirds of a dozen has lasted them 6 months here.
Yeah, and I guess at some point the hole gets so big that, you know, you really have to put hard-boiled eggs in there to plug it up. So it isn't the fault of the eggs. Maybe the remedy is good for small leaks.
Uh-huh.
You know, and it's certainly, I'm going to try one of my brother's engines as soon as we leave the studio.
Oh, that's the other thing. I had my friend try it, too, and he had a small leak, and it worked for him.
It really did, huh?
Boy.
He has a...
You opened a whole new world of auto repair for us.
And cooking, too.
And cooking. Eggs Prestone.
Sasha, it has been a pleasure. I can't tell you what a pleasure it has been talking to you and hearing this story. This is certainly among the best.
Okay.
And I would certainly shop not only for a new radiator, but for a new engine. And maybe for $500 you can get this thing back on the road again.
Wow.
And have another 135,000 miles of blissful driving.
Okay.
Thanks for your call.
Good luck.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, stick around for more calls and the new puzzler coming right up.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Clapper Brothers.
I wonder, every week when you say, hi, we're back, I wonder if you were out in space, if you could hear the groan across these great United States. Oh, isn't that over yet?
I hear it from my kids. Anyway, we're here to answer your questions about cars and car repair and why there are no British computer makers. You know why?
Yeah.
What?
They haven't figured out how to make them leak oil yet.
Hey, it's time for the new puzzler.
Unchallenging, unfolkloric, and everything, on everything.
Well, I don't know that it's on everything, but I'll let you be the judge.
I will.
This
Go
is
ahead.
A very simple puzzler, and this is an expression that people have heard since their childhood.
Well, not
maybe.
Everyone.
Okay, here's the expression. The whole nine yards.
Yeah.
Where does this expression come from? Of course, we always test our puzzlers on Andrew, my fifth grader. He's been a fifth grader for a long, long time now. And Doug Berman. Right. Andrew didn't get the answer, and neither did Doug. Doug's first answer was, oh, it's obviously got to do with football. You need 9 yards to get a first down.
Yeah, that was a really good
answer. More or less, he said. More or less. That was answer number one. Yeah. Answer number two, and we said, no.
Maybe it was metric yards.
10 yards to get a first down. Yeah. Then he said, oh, yeah, I knew it was something like that. And he said, oh, I know what it is. He said, this comes from medieval times when the serfs had to get to the castle, they had to cut through a bunch of yards. And to get to the castle, they had to cut through 9 yards.
The whole nine yards
to get to the castle.
Right,
that sounded good.
That was real good. That's good, Dougie.
Well,
very good.
That isn't it either.
Send him back to the home.
And I never knew, and I'll admit that I stole this from William Sapphire.
Really?
Yes.
Bill, our buddy Bill.
And because I never knew what it meant, and as soon as I heard the answer, I said,
of course.
Of course, although I never knew that this thing was measured in such terms.
Well, yeah.
Okay, so here's the puzzler in its simplest form. Where does the expression, the whole 9 yards, come from?
Yeah.
Isn't that simple?
Now, what if someone thought he or she knew the answer to this?
Well.
What should he or she do?
If you think you know the answer.
You would write it on the back of a $20 bill.
And send that to us at Puzzler Tower, Potentially Correct Answer Department, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Ma 02238. Okay, right. I'll repeat the.
Why don't you just say it again?
I'll repeat it again.
Let me do it this time.
Go ahead.
Maybe some people can't understand your crazy Boston accent, and I will do it. Puzzler Tower, Potentially Correct Answer Department. Isn't that good? Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Massachusetts, 02238. 0 Sonia Henny's 2238.
Very
Isn't
well.
Isn't it propitious that we got that zip code?
Sonia
Henny's 2238.
And if your answer is correct and we selected at random as our puzzler winner next week, you could win fabulous prizes.
The trip to Honolulu, the cubic zirconium.
Assuming you could hat. A Car Talk t-shirt, a fabulous prize. You could win a fabulous prize. Anyway, if you'd like to call us, the number is 1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
This is Cynthia.
Hi, Cynthia. What's up?
I'm calling from Sebastopol, California.
Yes.
And I have a story I thought you two would be interested in because you're brothers.
Okay.
Yeah, we are.
Okay. It has to do with my two brothers, who I still don't want to use their names because they're still feuding at this point.
Let's call them Tom and Ray, just as aliases for the moment.
Well, who's older, first of all?
Ray.
Tom. Ray is older. Yeah. Are you sure about that? Okay, well, Ray's the older one.
Okay.
Ray graduated from high school in 68, and my father bought him a 68 Camaro, brand new, with, you know, a convertible, a real hot car, and so he loved it. And then my sister graduated 3 years later, and she got a brand new Camaro. And then my other brother, Tom, graduated 2 years after that, and he didn't get a car. So Ray, being the nice guy that he is, he felt bad for Tom, and he said, I will give you this Camaro.
This 65 Ambassador convertible. No, I'm sorry.
No, he says, I'll give you this Camaro under one condition, that you keep it in the family and you never sell it because it means a lot to me. So Tom said, okay, fine, you know, I'll do that. So he's kept it all of these years, and he's kept it up in the garage in the winter because he lives back east. And he's, you know, put a brand new engine in it, rebuilt the whole inside and everything. I mean, it's in mint condition, and of course it's worth a lot of money now.
Oh. And now the evil older brother wants it back.
No. Well, I keep getting who's who confused, but the younger brother,
Tom, he bought
a $50,000 horse, and he needed some cash, so he wants to sell the car.
$50,000 horse?
A horse, $50,000 horse.
Yeah.
And so Ray says, sorry, I told you, you know, 25 years ago that you can't sell it, but legally it really is Tom's car. But ethically and morally, I just wanted to know if this happened between you two guys, what you would do.
If it happened between us two guys, are you kidding? I mean, it's almost exactly the same story.
Parallel. Here's the story. We'll get to your story in a minute, Cynthia, but here's the story as I see it. Yes. My brother had this 65 Rambler that didn't run anymore.
Uh-huh.
Barely ran.
Talking about ran like a dream. Isn't it interesting how people's perceptions are different?
Right.
Yeah.
It ran on 3 cylinders out of 8. The rust was up to the windows. There were holes in the roof. And he asked me, he said, can I park this in your driveway for like, I don't know, 8-10 years and until I get around to restoring it? And I said, in a moment of weakness, sure, Tommy. And then one day I came to my senses and I realized that he was never going to restore this Heap because he had already bought another Heap to replace it.
At one point, I had a 56 Chevy, a 65 Ambassador, and a 58 Mercedes that didn't run, of course, and had no doors, but it was a Mercedes.
Right, and the only reason he didn't ask me to store that one...
In a motorcycle!
Is he had tucked that one up at my sister's house.
In a motorcycle. Don't leave the motorcycle.
So he managed to sprinkle around jalopies kind of all over the greater Boston area. And God knows how many friends he imposed on. He has all these friends that don't speak to him anymore. Now I know why.
My moped was at Shelley's house.
Yeah.
She got that stolen.
So... I can understand how your brother feels. He has this thing in his possession now. He is free to do with it as he pleases. What possible?
Well, the situation is not quite parallel. He has given the car. He gave the car to his brother.
No, he didn't give him the car.
Well, you can't give a car to somebody with restrictions. Either you're giving it to him or you're not giving it to him.
The definition of a gift is it is unconditional.
Exactly.
You sound like my brothers right now.
Well, that's why you called us, isn't it?
No, a gift is absolutely unconditional.
I knew you'd have fun with this.
Sure. You can't say, I'm giving you this gift,
but.
No, that becomes a loan.
Why did he give it to him then, if
he
wanted it?
He's very sentimental. I mean, he'd put this car in his living room if he could, but he can't afford to buy it, and he has no place to store it, so he really has no control.
Your older brother is out of luck.
Yeah, what do you estimate the actual cash value of this car to be?
I think it's about $10,000.
About $10,000.
Yeah.
Okay.
I wouldn't give you
$10,000. Why did he want to buy a horse anyway? You know how many pony rides he's going to have to give to get back that $50,000?
He's going to breed it, so it'll be worth more, I guess, eventually, what he can get out of it.
Oh, I see. I see.
Know.
So this is a racehorse.
I mean, what good is this car doing your older brother, who lives 3,000 miles away from the car?
No, he doesn't know. They're both on the East Coast.
Oh, they're both on the...
They live about 120 miles from each other.
So does the older brother, Ray, does he once in a while...
I've got the solution.
He never visits it, no.
He's just being difficult.
He's just being difficult, but the younger brother has the car in his possession,
yes.
And he should, of course, sell it. The title is in his name.
Everything.
He should sell it.
Yeah,
when the other brother asks about it, he should say, it's in the body shop. Right?
Yeah.
I'd be happy to see it, but
Bugsy Lawler's been telling us that for 2 years
right,
now.
Bugsy Lawler keeps telling us he has a Corvette.
No one's ever seen it.
We ask him for a ride, he says, you know, as luck would have it, it's in the body shop this year.
This year, right?
That's great. I have to pass that advice.
So this car could certainly spend eternity in the body shop, just like Bugsy's car. And your older evil older brother will never know.
I mean, another solution is that your wonderful, sweet younger brother Tom could go out and buy an old Heap Camaro.
Uh huh.
Take it to Maaco for $100. They'll paint it.
Yeah.
Throw it in the garage.
Oh.
And sell the original. This is like the cubic zirconium trick. Right?
That's true, because if he never put anything into it...
He should have a car that's in the same shape.
Yeah.
Don't forget, your younger brother put all the money into restoring it. If he hadn't restored it, it would be a heap, just like all my cars were.
R.
R.
So you have no pity at all for Ray, huh?
No.
No.
None of you.
None whatsoever, no.
No, because he gave it to him. If he had entrusted it to him, that would, as I did to my brother, I entrusted my car to my brother.
No, that's...
I left it in his care.
That's not the word that comes to mind. That's not foisted. Foisted is the word that comes to mind.
No, I think Tom should go out and buy an old beat up Camaro in the shape that it would be in had he not invested all the money in it. Sell the one he's got for the $10,000. Buy the damn horse, whatever he wants to buy a horse for. Who knows? He's got to be a little wacko too.
Well, wait a minute. The real villain in this is your father. Why didn't he buy Tom a car?
Well, I was waiting for that. I don't know. I think his finances weren't quite.
Yeah, but gee, he should have had a more diversified portfolio.
Has he heard of the Click and Clock Capital Depreciation Fund?
Obviously, he has.
Ask me what I got for my graduation 4 years after that.
You got nothing.
I got a pair of contacts.
Soft? Well, Cynthia, I hope they resolve this amicably.
I do, too.
Yeah, and if they don't, you'll have to just shoot one of them. That's
well, I hope they get some humor anyway from it for this point.
I hope they can take a joke. See you later.
Thanks very much.
A pleasure talking
you
to you.
Too.
Bye-bye. It's hard to believe that you can go from one, you can just jump from one heap to another.
I go by decades. You notice that? I went from a 50s car.
Do you ever wonder when you make an offer on any of these cars where they never haggle with you? Say, all right, I'll give you $100. Take it.
I never put two and two together.
Yeah, well, it says something about you, but we won't talk about that.
Okay.
Well, you've wasted another hour listening to Car Talk. Our producer is Doug Punkin Lips Berman. Our associate producer and dean of the College of Automusicology is Ken.
Yeah, wait a minute now.
Well, you stopped me mid-name.
I stopped you mid-name because Bugsy and I, just the other day, were discussing the fact that everyone has these little nicknames. Bugsy's got 10 of them. He said, why do I have 10 of them? And Ken has been getting away for years with Ken Babyface Rogers. What is this, Babyface? Why only one name? Isn't it time that we focused our attentions on Ken?
You think we should come up with some insulting nicknames for Roger?
I mean, all we know is that his middle name is Shantz. But that's not that bad. I mean, it's good, but it isn't good enough. We know that he plays hockey, so we could call him, like, Flashing Blades.
Right.
But we might need solicitations of help for names for Ken Babyface Rogers. Let's describe the guy. I mean, he's about 6'4". How tall are you? 6'4".
Yeah, tall, thin guy.
And he skates, and he's got a little kid, and he's the dean of the Department of Automusicology, and we need some names for him. He spends all day looking out the window with his binoculars.
Right.
But other than that, we don't know.
He's just a regular guy.
Yeah.
Just a regular guy.
And he deserves better than this. And he's going to get it, too.
He deserves some notoriety.
If we have anything to do with it.
All right, so for the time being,
question mark Rogers.
Okay. Our engineer and assistant producer is Jennifer Jiffy Loeb.
Vacation Loeb, assistant producer.
Our technical advisor.
Here it comes.
Is the patron saint of free lunch, John Bugsy Sebastian. Mr. Height, Sweet Cheeks, Free Lunch, Donut Breath. Make that a triple cheeseburger lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research. Our automotive medical researcher is Dr. Denton Fender. Our secretary of pain relief is Les Aspirin. Our fleet manager is Oscar De La Rental. Our director of purchasing is Lois Bitter. Our staff dietitian is Arlene Menu. Our air quality manager is Carmen Dioxide. Our staff psychologist is Les Moody. Our staff geneticist is Dr. Gene Poole. Our director of long-range strategic planning
and is my favorite,
Kay Sarah, who's married to Frank Sarah, and now her driver's license says Kay Sarah, Sarah. The chairman of our math department is Horatio Algebra. Mr. Gigi does our hair, and a splendid job he does.
Did a nice job on you. Spray it on again?
Head in a can. And, of course, our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known behind the bars of Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. Thanks for listening, but don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
See you next week. Bye-bye.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And adjusting your radio won't help because even though we're on, this is NPR, National Public Radio.